Before God created Adam and Eve, he knew that they would disobey him and get into trouble. But the love that he had for both of them, and for all human beings who should come after them, was so great that he determined to save them from doing wrong. The way in which God chose to do so was this: that his own son should become a human being like ourselves. This is the story of how God's son was born into the world, how he taught us to obey God's laws, and how he died so that all of us might live forever with God in heaven. The birth into the world of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, took place in this way. There was a woman named Mary living in a town called Nazareth in Galilee. And the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Hail Mary, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." At first Mary was afraid when she saw the angel, but he said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." The angel told Mary that she would have a son who would indeed be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. About the time when Jesus would be born, Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, had to go to the city called Bethlehem to pay his taxes to the government. But the city was so crowded that there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. Finally, they found a place to sleep in a stable. It was in this little stable that our Lord was born. Mary wrapped him in soft blankets and laid him in a manger. He was called Jesus, for an angel had appeared to Joseph in his sleep one night and told him that the baby should be called Jesus. Now when Jesus was born, there were wise men living in a distant country, and they saw a remarkable star in the heavens, which seemed to point out the way to Jerusalem. So they followed the star and came to Jerusalem and asked where he was who was born King of the Jews, for they were come to worship him. The people of the city, together with Herod their king, were greatly troubled when they heard of this. So Herod called together the high priests and the most learned men in Jerusalem, and asked them where it was that the Christ child was expected to be born. They told him in Bethlehem, for there was an old prophecy that out of that city should come one who was to rule over Israel. Then Herod sent for the wise men, and after he questioned them about the star which they had seen, he told them to go to Bethlehem, find the young child, and bring him word, that he too might go and worship him. So they went to Bethlehem, which was only a few miles away. And when they found the baby Jesus, they kneeled down before him and gave him gifts of gold and silver and other precious things in token of their reverence. Then instead of telling King Herod where the Christ child lay, the wise men returned to their own country. For God, who knows everything, knew that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. God knew Herod was afraid that Jesus would take his kingdom away from him. And in a dream, God had told the wise men not to return to Herod. King Herod waited anxiously for the return of the wise men. But when he found that they had gone home again without coming to him, he was in a furious rage. And in order to make sure that the child Jesus should not escape him, the cruel king sent out his soldiers to kill all the young children under 2 years old, not only in Bethlehem itself, but in all the country round about it. But God took care of Jesus. After the wise men had left Bethlehem, God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream and warned him to take the young child and his mother and escape with them into the land of Egypt. They lived in Egypt for a number of years. Then later, Joseph and Mary with their child came by God's direction into Galilee. They found a house in the city of Nazareth, which became the home of our blessed Lord. And the child Jesus grew up in health and strength, with understanding far above that of other children. And God, his Father, blessed him exceedingly. Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. This feast or festival lasted 8 days, for it was a time not only to worship God, but for friends and families to rejoice together when they met from all parts of the country at Jerusalem. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents took him with them when they went as usual to Jerusalem. But when the festival was over and they were returning home, they suddenly missed the child Jesus. He was nowhere to be found, and then in great alarm they hurried back to the city to look for him. For 3 whole days they did not know what had become of him. When they finally did find him, it was in the temple. Jesus was sitting among the doctors or learned men of the Jews, who were all wondering at the way in which this 12-year-old child talked with them concerning the law of God, of which he knew so much more than they did. His mother told Jesus how worried they had been about him and asked him why he had stayed behind without their knowledge. His answer amazed her, for he asked her why they had sought him. Did they not know that he must be about his father's business? Mary did not know what he meant, but Jesus was speaking of God, who was his real father and who had sent him into the world to teach as well as to save it. Nevertheless, Jesus went back again with them to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them like any other son, working at Joseph's trade, which was that of a carpenter. About 30 years after the birth of our Lord, an extraordinary prophet or teacher appeared among the Jews. His name was John, and he was the son of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. His father, Zacharias, was a priest. God sent John to tell the people that they must change their lives. Great numbers thronged to the wilderness of Judea where John lived, clad in coarse garments and living on locusts and wild honey. And when he told the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, they confessed their sins and were baptized by him in the river Jordan. People began to wonder whether John might possibly be the Christ, but he denied it and told them of the coming of a mightier one, whose shoestrings he was not worthy to untie. Then Jesus himself came to John to be baptized. But John, knowing that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, did not feel worthy to do this. Jesus, however, told him that it was the will of God that it should be so, and then John baptized him in the river Jordan. When Jesus came up from the river and was praying, John saw the heavens open, and the Spirit of God in shape like a dove descending and resting upon Jesus. And there came a voice from heaven of God himself saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus went alone into the wilderness after he was baptized by John and fasted there for 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written that a man is not to live on bread alone, but on the word of God as well." Then the devil transported him to the holy city and set him down on the highest point of the temple. He said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written that he will give his angels charge of you." Jesus answered, "Yes, but it is also written that you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and wealth. He said, "I will give you all of these things if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus answered, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written that you shall worship only God and serve him alone." There were many people who loved and followed Jesus, but there were also wicked men who hated Jesus, and their rulers and chief priests tried from time to time to lay hold of Jesus that they might kill him. Jesus was on his last journey to Jerusalem, where he was to be put to death. Jesus knew all that was about to happen to him there, all the shame and suffering that were to be inflicted upon him. But he knew that it was the will of his Father that he should bear it, and he knew that it would be for the saving of all mankind from the sad consequences of their sins against God. So he did not seek to avoid it. When Jesus rode toward Jerusalem, the multitudes came out to meet him, laying their garments beneath his feet, while others cut down branches from the trees and laid them along the way to show that they received him as their king. When he came into Jerusalem, the whole city was in a tumult, asking who it was who entered it thus like a king. And the multitudes answered that it was Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee, their Messiah. The chief men of the city were outraged that the multitude should acknowledge Christ to be their king. and it made them all the more eager to lay hold of him and kill him. The chief priests and rulers were planning among themselves how they might best take Jesus when Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to them and asked what they would give him if he would deliver up Jesus to them. They agreed to give him 30 pieces of silver. And for this, Judas was willing to betray his master as soon as he could find a convenient opportunity of doing it. In the evening, Jesus sat down to the Passover supper with the 12 disciples, and he told them how earnestly he had longed to eat that Passover with them, for it was the last that he should keep. Then, as they were eating, he said that one of them should betray him to his enemies. They were very sorrowful when they heard this, each one asking anxiously if it should be he. Even Judas ventured to ask, as the others did, "Is it I?" As if his Lord did not know all his treachery. And Jesus told him he was the one. Then Jesus comforted his disciples, who were very sorrowful because he had said he was about to die. He told them not to let their hearts be troubled or afraid, for he was going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house in heaven. He would send to them God's Holy Spirit, who should be with them always to comfort and teach them, and bring to their minds all that he had taught them while he himself was with them. And again he bade them not let their hearts be troubled. But Jesus knew his disciples would all forsake him when his enemies had seized him. While Jesus was speaking, an unruly mob carrying lanterns and torches and armed with swords, clubs, and other weapons burst into the garden with Judas at their head. Now Judas had told the people who came with him that the man whom he should kiss was he whom they were to take. So he stepped up to Jesus and, calling him Master, kissed him. Then Jesus was seized by these ruffians, and all his disciples fled, leaving Jesus alone in the hands of his enemies. The high priest and the rulers before whom Jesus was brought were determined to put him to death. But he had never done anything wrong, so it was hard work to find an excuse for killing him. Finally, the high priest asked Jesus to tell him whether he was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus answered that he was the Christ, and that at the end of the world they should see him coming in the clouds of heaven to judge all men. Then the high priest and those who were with him exclaimed in horror, for Jesus to call himself the Son of God was such wickedness that he ought to be put to death. Then his guards fell upon Jesus and abused him in every possible way. They spat upon him, they struck him, and committed many other cruelties against him. After the chief priests and rulers had condemned Jesus, they took him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate ordered Jesus to be scourged, and then he gave him into the hands of the soldiers, who made a crown of thorns, and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe, and then mocked him, pretending to do him reverence as the King of the Jews. Then Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, repented of his wickedness, and he brought back to the chief priests the money they had given him, and, exclaiming that he had sinned in betraying an innocent person, he went out and hanged himself. Pilate perceived that Jesus was innocent of evil deeds, so he said to the people, "Behold this man," hoping they would pity Jesus and release him. But they only cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate indignantly told them to crucify him themselves, for he found no fault in Jesus. The priests warned Pilate that if he let Jesus go, he would be guilty of treason to the Roman emperor, because Christ had called himself a king. Now it was the custom at the feast of Passover for one criminal whom the people should choose to be set free. Pilate wanted them to let Jesus be this one. But they chose a thief named Barabbas instead. And when Pilate asked them what he must do with Jesus, they cried out as before, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate gave way to the mob, and the soldiers took Jesus, and after they had brutally insulted him, they led him away to crucify him, compelling Jesus himself to carry the cross upon which he was to be put to death. Jesus was so weakened with the cruel treatment which he had received that he could not carry the heavy cross which they laid upon him. So they seized a countryman whom they met and made him bear it after Jesus. And great numbers followed Jesus, weeping and lamenting for him. When they were come to a hill named Calvary, they crucified Jesus there, along with two thieves, one on either side of him. Upon the cross was written, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the soldiers and many of the people who stood looking on mocked him, telling him to save himself and come down from the cross if he were indeed the Son of God. But Jesus prayed for his tormentors, saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." One of the thieves that was crucified with him spoke insultingly to Jesus. But the other thief rebuked his companion, saying that they were justly punished for their evil deeds, while Jesus had done nothing wrong. And he begged Jesus to remember him when he entered into his kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Then, though it was midday, it became dark over the whole land of Judea. And amid the darkness, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some who stood there, pitying him, ran and filled a sponge with wine and put it on a reed in order to reach his lips and give him a drink. Then when he had drunk, he again cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." His head sank down, and he died. Then one of the Jewish rulers went to Pilate and begged that he might have the body of Jesus to bury it. Pilate gave him permission to have it. So he took Jesus down from the cross, wrapped him in fine linen, and when he had laid him in his own new tomb, which was cut in the rock, he closed it with a large stone. Pilate took a guard of Roman soldiers, and they placed a seal on the stone over the tomb in order to make sure that no one would attempt to remove the stone and the body of Jesus. Very early in the morning of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other women came to the tomb that they might, according to the custom, wrap the body of Christ with spices and gums which would preserve it. As they went, they wondered how they would roll away the great stone that closed the tomb. But when they reached the place, the stone was already rolled away, and an angel in bright shining garments sat there. The angel told them not to be afraid, for he knew that they sought Jesus of Nazareth, who was risen from the dead. And he said to the women that they must go and tell the disciples that they would find their Lord in Galilee, as before his death he had told them they should do. The women went quickly to tell the disciples, but Mary Magdalene stayed behind at the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, someone stood by her and asked her why she wept and whom it was that she was seeking. Supposing him to be the gardener, she begged him, if he had taken away the body of Jesus, to tell her where he had laid it, that she might take it away. It was Jesus himself speaking, and he said to her, "Mary." Then she recognized his voice, answering, "Master," and clung to his feet for joy, worshiping him. Then Jesus told her to go and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead, and that he would very soon ascend to heaven to his Father and theirs. So she went and told the disciples that she had seen Jesus, but they could not believe her. Jesus next appeared to two of the disciples as they were going from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus, sorrowfully talking about the death of their late master. There, as they sat at supper, Jesus took bread and, blessing it, gave it to them. Then they knew their Lord, and when he vanished out of their sight, they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead, for they had seen him. While they were telling what they had seen, Jesus himself stood among them and blessed them. And they were afraid, thinking they had seen a spirit. But he invited them to touch him, that they might know it was not a spirit that they saw. And he showed them on his hands and his side the marks of the cruel wounds that he had received. Then he took some broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb and ate it before them, in order to convince them that it was indeed himself in his own body. After this, Peter and some of the other disciples went fishing on the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. They saw someone standing on the shore who asked them kindly if they had any fish. They said no. He instructed them to cast their net on the right side of the boat, and when they had done so, they caught so many fish that they could not draw the net to land. Then John exclaimed that it was the Lord. Peter, hearing this, immediately sprang into the water that he might go to his master. When they were all come to land, they all now knew that Jesus, who had been crucified and who had risen from the dead, was their Lord and true Messiah. Vast numbers of people saw Jesus after his resurrection from the dead. Then, at the end of 40 days, he went out to Bethany with the 11 apostles. There he gave them his last blessing, and while he was blessing them, he ascended from the earth and was taken up into heaven.